It's an amazing thing to hear someone quote a scripture and seemingly feel that they know exactly what the scripture means. And while they quote the scripture, if you try to explain what the scripture meant, what was it talking about, to hear them brush you off or see them brush you off, and in so many words, they just want you to shut up and just let me enjoy the scripture the way that I see it, the way that it's always meant what it meant to me. A good scripture that really explains what I'm talking about is in the book of Philippians. And in Philippians, that's one of the letters that Paul writes when he's in prison. And in that fourth chapter, in that 13th verse, Paul makes a statement. The statement is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, no doubt someone doing Thumb Bible is where I heard a man one time say that this godly person would take their thumbs, close their Bible, and rub their thumbs across the pages of the Bible, where the front part of the pages would open, and then just let it stop somewhere and then open it wherever their thumb opened. That's what the Lord wanted to say to them. Well, that's an amazing thing, because couldn't somebody also take their Bible outside and just let the wind blow it and count to seven and then drop a penny in there, wherever the penny falls, that's what the Lord wanted you to read? When an individual feels that they have the individual power to determine what God wants you to read or exactly what he wants you to know and what he's going to say to you through a scripture by some means like that, that often can be manipulation. Suppose the scripture tells you to go kill the Amalekite. What if the scripture tells you to put away your wife, as they had to do when Ezra was there with the people? What would they do? Makes a person wonder. But this scripture, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me, it has a real meaning to it. It has a very real meaning. And I remember one time there was a boxing match, and there was this man that lives in College Park of Fayetteville. And he was boxing this man named Mike Tyson. And he comes into the boxing ring with this verse on. He can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth him. I literally wanted him to lose the match. I wanted him to lose with every fiber that I could come up with in my being for wearing that, saying that's what that scripture meant. Well, tonight in the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, let's talk about how an individual can do all things through Christ that strengthens him through the Holy Spirit. Title, How the Holy Spirit Helps One to Do All Things That God Wants Done Through His Holy Spirit. Now, the amazing thing is, when we look at this passage, it may not be the very kind of thing that people want to talk about when they say they can do all things through Christ to strengthen them. Let's roll with the scriptures. Verse 1 of the 28th chapter, it says, when they escaped from the places where there was broken pieces of the ship, and they got to the land of Malta now. 28 says, and when they were escaped, then they knew the island was called Melita. That's a good place for you to know of, because the word means honey, but I don't know if there's any significance to that. But if you remember reading in the scripture, it says Paul left Trophimus sick at Miletum, same place. And so the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. The barbarous people, if we were saying that today, and I am reading it today, but I'm not saying it today because I don't know those people, but at that time, that would mean a group of people that didn't know Greek. It would not necessarily mean that the people were uncouth, that they had no sophistication in their life, that they were, you know, mean or whatever. It could mean that, but a barbarous people would be considered a people that did not know the Koine Greek. And it said they showed us no little kindness. So if you say no little kindness, that means they showed us big kindness or a lot of kindness. They kindled a fire for us. We were wet. We were cold. We had eaten a meal at Paul's bequest or behest. But we had lost a lot and we are getting there and our lives have just been spared. Now we're on an island without all of the things that we need. Our clothes are wet because I don't believe that they're walking around naked. And these people kindled a fire. Notice that it took a real thing to warm them up. Someone could say, well, you know, Paul is full of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost would warm him up. That's not what the scripture said. These barbarous people, they kindled a fire and received every one of us because of the present rain. Do you see that? And when I say that the Holy Spirit helped one to be able to do all things through Christ that strengthens him, someone could say to me, Tim, everybody got in the heat. Everybody got some of the fire. Everybody was in the rain, not just Paul. Okay, don't get so all upset. I said we're talking about what the Holy Spirit can help a man to do through Christ is strengthened. The Holy Spirit is the one that sent Paul on the job. The Holy Spirit is the one that said that Paul needed to go to Rome. So the emphasis here is what the Holy Spirit is doing through the life of Paul and the brothers that are there with him so that we can see what the acts of the apostles were, not the other criminals. The other criminals in those days will help add validity and authenticity to the scripture because people that would have read this earlier when it was written would be able to know some of the prisoners that was on the ship. Bless the Lord forever. Amen. And it says, because of the rain and the cold. Paul was able to withstand the rain and the cold. He could do all things through Christ to strengthen him through the Holy Spirit. God had somebody to prepare a fire. God had somebody to help keep him warm. Bless the Lord God forever. Amen. The next scripture says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. Wait a minute. I say, you didn't say that Paul had to gather some sticks, did you? I said, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. Wait a minute. Paul is an apostle. Paul is up there with Jesus. Paul writes scriptures. They supposed to be doing it for him. Will you please let me read? And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hands. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no God, no doubt, this man is a murderer whom he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live.
Well, I listen to you read that. What that means?
I'm going to tell you. First, Paul, being a man of God, did not sit down on his rear end and allow everybody else to do the work. Paul wanted to be warm just like everybody else, and Paul got some of the stuff himself for the heat. He put the wood on the fire. When he put the wood on the fire, when it's cold, when it's wet, serpents being cold-blooded animals, their body temperature is going to be the temperature of what's outside. So the snake could have easily looked like a piece of the stick when you gather the sticks together to put on the fire. And the sticks, we're not maybe thinking of little twigs. It may have been big sticks. He has gathered them up to put them on the fire. So notice what the scripture says. The scripture says the serpent came out of the heat. There is a difference between the serpent coming out of the fire being burned. When you burn a fire outside to keep warm, there is a radius where there's heat. There is a radius. I know that when we were in the Army and it would be cold in Fort Knox, back then before people made the complaints that they make now, they would take a barrel of 55-gallon barrel, and they would burn used tires in it. And you would be surprised how wonderful that heat would feel when you're out there in the snow deeper than you've ever seen before if you're a Georgia boy, and it's cold out there, and they would bring us hot coffee, and that's where I learned how to drink coffee black, because it didn't matter what was in it as long as it was hot. I submit to you that just like that radius with those tires when they would burn it, we couldn't get close. It would be too hot. So you get the front of you warm, and you'd have to turn around to get the back of you warm. This serpent came, or this viper came out of the heat, and it bit Paul on the hand. And when the barbarians saw that beast, naturally they think, this man got what was coming to him. That's what he needs. That's what he deserved. Because of the fact he was saved from the sea, and then vengeance, God got him anyway. Now, normally, sometimes when they use vengeance, that could be talked about in their sense of being superstitious or feeling that it was a god. Let me give you one of the stories that Greek stories would have a lot like this. And let me read something from the book of Amos that kind of parallels what the people were, how their mindset worked. 5 and 18 of the book of Amos says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord." For real. "For what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light." Duh. Verse 19, "As if a man did flee from a lion." Got away. "And a bear met him." Got away. "And went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him." Do you see? This is the kind of stories that vengeance got him. So what the people were thinking, something similar to that. Listen to how they said it. Middle of verse 4. "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers him not to live. And he shook the beast into the fire and felt no harm." Now the amazing thing about that is when he shook the beast off into the fire, it says he felt no harm. "Howbeit, they looked when he should have been swollen or fallen down dead. Suddenly, after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." When Paul makes the statement in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," if you read the passage, you would see that Paul said there were people that eventually did minister to him, or they gave him some of what he needed so that he could have sufficiency to live with. But he said he knew how to be abased and he knew how to abound. It said he knew how to suffer lack and be in need. He said he could do all things through Christ that strengthens him. I submit to you, instead of taking that scripture and saying you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you and not having an understanding of what that scripture means, maybe thinking you can get out there with a golf club and you can do what Tiger Woods does, or that you maybe can get behind a race car and do what some of these NASCAR drivers do, or maybe you feel you can get out there on the basketball court and jump up high and slam the basketball and play for the NBA, that in your mind could easily be proven that that's not what you could do. But if it means that if you're out there and you're in a shipwreck, bless the Lord's name, because you've been tried falsely, bless the Lord, amen, because people have tried to kill you, bless the Lord, amen, because you're following the Holy Spirit, and you're out there in the cold and in the rain, And then a serpent of deadly viper comes and bites you on the hand while you're in the wet, while you're in the cold, trying to get warm. Witness say, like, God, why? Why me? I'm just trying to do your will. Can't I catch a break? Could you see it? Could you feel it? You didn't have these comforts that we have at home. Air conditioner on sometimes, heat on sometimes. He's outside. But the scripture said that the people took notice. No harm came to him. He didn't swell up. He didn't die. And they changed their mind and thought he was a god. So at one moment, they thought less of him. And the next moment, they thinking high of him. We've seen before where people have thought that Paul was a god, and then they changed their mind, and then they want to kill him. Here is the exact opposite. What does it say in verse 7, Tim? Read. In the same quarter, I want to slow it down a little bit. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island. In the same place, in the same area, were possessions, properties, okay, of the chief man, the man that's in charge, the protos, the one that's head of the island, and his name was Publius. They call him Publius. The name means popular, but some think he may have had even a Roman position. It says he received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. Notice how Paul is being taken up from being wet outside in the cold, in the rain, being snake bitten, and now he's inside of the lodging of the chief man of the island. Now, I want us to see, we can look at that part and we can find joy. We can find excitement. We can say, oh, what a mighty God we serve. He's reigning up above on his throne of love. What a mighty God we serve. Bless his name forever. But what about when they were in the shipwreck? Can we still say it? What about when they're barely making it to land? Can we still say it? Can we say it when it's rainy and cold and a serpent's biting you? Or can we only say it when we see God comes through and gives him the kind of comfort that we would want? The Holy Spirit is working in Paul's life. And I submit to you, when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, that does not mean that I get to dictate my way. But I can bear when I'm up, or I can bear when I'm down. Read some more of the sweetest word of God, Tim. And it says that it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever. So that means the man is heat, got a fiery heat of a fever. And body flux. Now, what is body flux? I've heard of body wax. I've heard of body hair. I've heard of body wrap. Well, body flux is something you don't want. Mm-mm. It's called dysenteria. Mm-hmm. Dysenteria makes you think of the word dysentery, doesn't it? Well, don't laugh too fast, because it means a body flux or dysentery, a bowel ailment. You know, some people would feel like, well, that's funny. The Bible just full of funny stories. Get a bowel ailment and see how funny you think it is. You think it's funny now because you're thinking of bowel and waste material. Wait till that part of your body is not working correctly. And you'll find that it can take every inch of vitality out of you. It can lay you down on the floor where you can't move. It can make you where you can't even do it. Especially, you're not even going to even be able to accept any nutrients in your body. So this man lay with a fever. He's hot. He's fiery hot. Tim, where you get the fiery hot from? I know you made that up. No, I did not. The word there is pyrrhitos. It translates as a fever 6 times, and it means fiery heat or fever. So this man is very hot, and he's got all this power problem with the bloody flux coming out of his bowel. And it says, Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. The Bible said Paul came in, laid his hands on him and healed him, made him whole, cured him. And what the word here is iomai. This word is iomai or iomai. That means the man was made completely whole. It was a miraculous thing. It was no oil used. It was no service used that we can see. Paul laid his hands on them. Where did Paul get the information to do that? I don't know. We don't know if Paul knew he was going to be healed when he did it or not. But there's a possibility. We don't know, but Paul did this. The man was healed. But verse number 9 says, so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Now I want you to walk with me slowly. The first word, when Paul laid his hands on him and healed, the word there is iomai. The word, if you're looking it up in your Strong's Concordance, unless you're using the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament or one of those, is 2390. 2390, that's the number for that word. Now in verse 9, when it says the ones that had the diseases of the land, they came and they were healed, the word here is, number is 2323. The word here is theropuo. This word means to heal or to cure or to do service to, heal or restore to health. That one can be as if the person has taken some type of medicine, some kind of treatment. It is not the exact same word as the one when Paul just laid his hands on the man and he was healed. And I think that makes a difference for people to see, because sometimes people have no idea if you just use the word healed. He was healed. He was healed. But that means that the person had something, as far as I know, to help effect the cure. Doesn't mean that Paul was not able to do anything, but if you all are familiar with the Good Samaritan, that parable that is called the Good Samaritan, where the man took oil and wine and put it on the person's wounds to help that person. So we mean that when I see this, it can be that the person has some kind of treatment or they were healed right away. The other one is that they were healed right away. Now, at this particular time, it's probably looking good for Paul. It's probably looking really good, and the people at this time probably likes Paul. They probably feel good about Paul. They probably feel that everything is good because they're thinking that he's a god, and people are able to get healed. Things are able to happen for the people. And so now we're talking about Paul. God has allowed Paul to do this for them. Their mind is up. But I want you to keep your mind. Paul said in Philippians he knows how to be abased and he knows how to abound. We would say this is the time of abounding. Why do you say that? Verse number 10 says, who also honored us with many honors. Now I want you to understand something. When it said honored us, Luke is the one doing the writing. Luke is the one that is a doctor. Luke says here, they honored us with many honors. When we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Here they come to an island where they're stripped down pretty much. God has used Paul. He's allowed the people to think the worst of Paul. Then he allowed them to think the best of Paul. God has used Paul to be able to affect the healing. The people gave him a nice place to stay for 3 days. Other people of the land had gotten healed, and they were showing their thanks to God and their appreciation. And when it was time to leave, they loaded them up with the things that were necessary. It didn't say all their wants, but it was necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria. They're back in one of those Alexandrian ships. The other one was tore up, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Roma, these are gods of the ancient world, the gods that they would celebrate. These are gods that they would give honor to, Castor and Pollux. Because often what they would do is they would put the names of their gods on their ships so that they felt that the ships would be able to get from one place to another one safely. And so what ends up happening is these twin gods or heroes, Castor and Pollux, they felt that Zeus had been defied by them anywhere, that they had been defiled. And so they put that on there. If you wonder why you have Castor and Pollux, because most of us, when we think of Castor, we think about castor oil, and that's not what it's talking about. Verse number 12 says, and landing in Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days, and from thence we fetched a compass. Now, when you tell a dog to fetch, you throw a bone, or you throw something in the dog, go get it and bring it back. Well, this is one of those sayings in King James Bible that I tell people that it's hard to understand. This is why whenever I tell somebody that if they read New American Standard Bible, I have no problem with it, because it's not going to have this in here like this. We fetched a compass, because they didn't have what we call compasses in those days. But you can compass or compass something by going around it. So the word here can mean, or does mean, navigators making a circuit of something, around something, making a circuit. So that's what it is. And the word here is perikoame. And a pier, you get perimeter to make a circle around something, go to the outside edges. That's what it means. We fetched a compass and came to Rigium. And after one day, the south wind blew. And we came the next day to Puteoli. Well, we found brethren and desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. The gospel had evidently been spread so much so that when they got to this place, Puteoli, they found brethren already there, which had to be a blessing, which had to be a comfort to them. They wanted to stay there with them 7 days. I'm finding that the people on the ship are very agreeable to Paul. They're not fighting against him. Verse 15 says, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us. They came to meet us as far as Appii, Forum, and the three taverns, not a drinking tavern, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Notice, the Bible says, out of all the things that have happened to Paul, out of all the things that God has allowed to happen through Paul, when he saw the brethren, that's when it said he took courage. The fellowship with the saints is very important. But when they're true saints, there's nothing that surpasses it. 16th verse says, and when we came to Rome, so now he's made it to where the Holy Spirit said he would make it. To Rome. He is there now. And he came through many trials. He came through the fire. He came seemingly through the limit. He looked like he came through the wall. He has been beat down. He's been stoned. He's gone through a lot of things. He's been abased much. And now he's on this side of where he's abounding somewhat. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. But Paul was treated specially. And it came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they would come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people of the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they examined me would have me go, but because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause I therefore have called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because for that the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Paul is bound with two chains. He's bound with the chain that is physical. He's bound with the chain of he's got this burden for the souls of people. Paul is saying that I did not do anything wrong, but the Jews, they had something against me. I had to appeal to Caesar, and that's why I'm here. I'm calling for you to see what saith you. Verse number 21 says, and they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any other brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee, what thinkest thou concerning this sect, this group of people? The word there is heresies, concerning this heresies. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of Moses and of the prophets, from morning till evening. Bless the Lord's name forever. Again, here for people that don't like what we call the Old Testament, don't know what they're talking about, but fully able and capable of running their mouth to the wickedness and the degradation of their own souls' lives, and the hearers of them telling you that the Old Testament means nothing. Listen to what Paul says here. He expounded and testified concerning Jesus both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. How long, Tim? From morning till evening. That man knew the word of God enough that he could keep on keeping it rolling from morning till evening. And when some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not, is that not the same thing that has happened before? No, it really is the thing that happened before. 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have their clothes. Yes, they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Paul, Paul, Paul. In the place where you see that God has allowed him to have a certain amount of reprieve, yet he's still bound. He's still being abased in that sense, but he's still abounding in the sense that he has freedom. Now he calls for his brethren, and he takes them through what we call a walk through the Old Testament of the Tanakh, the law of Moses and the prophets, and show them about Jesus. And some believed and some did not. And when the ones did not believe, did Paul say, please come back? Did Paul say, please, I'm going to explain it differently. I want to say something positive. I want to say a word of encouragement. Please come back, let me say it. Paul said, look like before they got out of the place, when they didn't agree, Paul said, well spake the Holy Ghost. He's the one that commissions me. He's the one that makes me abound. He's the one that's with me when I'm abased. Well spake the Holy Ghost by the prophet Isaiah unto our fathers, saying unto this people, hearing they shall hear and shall not hear. They can't hear. They think they know. They think they've heard the word of God, but hearing the word of God, they don't hear the word of God because they're messed up in their mind. And it says, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. You see and you think you know what you're doing when you're offering the sacrifice, the lamb, the bull, the turtle doves, but you don't see what you see when you see what you see. You think you see when you circumcise a baby that the baby is circumcised. You see when you go use the bathroom, me and yourself, that you're circumcised, and you think you see God's covenant. You don't see God's covenant. That's a lie, and the truth is not in you. I submit to you that in Genesis chapter 17, when God gave them the covenant of circumcision, God said, every male child among you will be circumcised, and that is my covenant. Yes, he did. And that's what he meant. That's what his word represents. Every male child, he told Abraham, that is among you shall be circumcised. Everyone that is not circumcised shall be cut off. Didn't he say it? Yes, he did. Then, after the period, in about the 17th chapter and the 5th verse, he says in the 6th verse, and this shall be a token of the covenant. And this shall be a token of the covenant that I said that the covenant is going to be that you're going to be circumcised. You shall circumcise the foreskin of your flesh. The circumcision of the flesh was a token of the circumcision which was supposed to be done in the heart. Deuteronomy 10:16, Jeremiah 4:4, and even it's back in, I believe, the 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. I'm not sure which verse it is. Read the whole chapter. It's good for you to read the word of God. Now, here's the point that I'm making. They could see the circumcision with their eyes and still not see the circumcision, because the circumcision is not in the flesh. It's in the heart. You see the token and don't see the substance. And then it says, hear with their ears and not understand with their heart. Do you see what the scripture says in 27? Do you see what it says in 26? Say to this people, hearing you shall hear, you will not understand. Seeing you shall see, you will not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. It is waxed gross, or gross, however you want to say the word. The word here is pakuno. It means to be made stupid. It means to be made dull or callous. The very thing when the heart was not made circumcised or soft and tender toward God is stupid. His heart, 27 says, is waxed that way. The ears are dull of hearing. What do you mean the ears are dull of hearing? They're endowed with the faculty of hearing, but they don't consider what it's saying. They don't learn what it's saying. They don't comprehend because it's not that important to them. And it says their eyes have been closed, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and I should heal them. I would heal them. The word here is the same word that Paul was, what it said of Paul when he laid his hand on that man's father. I would heal them. I would heal them. This is an amazing thing here. One last thing on this verse. When Paul said that they would understand with their heart, quoting Isaiah, and they would be converted, that word right there means to turn back to. That means to turn around. We can use that same word for repentance. I submit to you, when Paul is telling these people that they can't hear, they can't see, they need to be converted and be healed, he probably made many, many multitudes of them angry because they felt they were already righteous in the sight of the Lord God Almighty. Verse 28 said, be it known therefore to you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. They had some issues with it. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now you can look at that scripture, that 28th chapter, and I think it's a fine fit for what we've gone through in the book of Acts, especially in the last part dealing with Paul, how the Holy Spirit will help a person be able to do all things that God wants them to do. How? Through Christ that strengtheneth them. I'm going to open up for discussion now. Does anybody want to discuss anything on this beautiful chapter right here where we get to deal with one of those scriptures that people throw out and really seemingly don't take note consideration of what it really means? Well, you all, I thank you all for joining us tonight. I enjoyed the chapter myself. I got something out of the chapter. And I'm going to ask the Lord to just have his blessing upon us. Father, thank you for allowing us to go through your word again. And I ask you to allow us to be the kind of people that when the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, when he gives us knowledge, that we'll be the kind of people, whether we have to be abased or abound, whether we knock down or whether we're able to stand up, that we can be steadily about doing your will, because we truly, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can do all things that's necessary for us to do through Christ that strengthens us. I ask you this in the name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen.